talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great specials going on as well at Brewers Outlet. Indeed. They have the best selection of beer, imports, domestics, microbrews, snacks, water, soft drinks, wine coolers. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar is second to none. I love the barrels. I love the dills. Now, here are the great specials they have between now and Tuesday. Genesee Regular Light and Cream Ale, 30-pack cans, $11.95. Seagram's 12-pack bottles, $10.99. Labatt's 16-ounce, 24-pack cans, $17.97. Heineken, 12-ounce, 24-pack bottles, $25.95. And Red's 12-ounce, 24-pack bottles, $16.95 after a $10 mail-in rebate. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Another action-packed show on hand today where the action is fast, furious, and nearly out of control. All right. Sean and I are the only people in the station.
Actually, that is not true. I brought a third wheel in today.
Yes, I'm here, Steve.
Oh, Bob, thank goodness. I thought for a second it was a suit.
No.
It's like, oh, I'm thinking, oh, no.
I'd give you a little more notice than that.
Yeah. We have him tied up and locked in a car somewhere.
No, because he's now a suit.
Yeah.
The day is off. Yeah. Okay.
I don't have to go in. I'm the suit. Okay. Fabulous. Bob, how are you?
Doing well, Steve. You know, today's a day where there's probably nothing to talk about in local or regional or statewide or Penn State. So I thought today's the day we talk about cricket.
I tried. I should have known better.
There's just so much going on. It's just mind-boggling.
It is, and that's good.
It is good.
You know, let's face it. 2 months ago, did people think we would be having these conversations? No. But let's take, for example, Iowa plays Nebraska today. Well, that's on the other side of the bracket. Washington plays Washington State today for the Apple Cup. Well, normally the Apple Cup is just a nice, entertaining game. If you love college football, that's what you get. Okay, but now it's a game that involves Penn State because they're the team ahead of Penn State. There are three teams between Penn State and the last playoff spot. So that's why you watch these games. This is all great stuff. It's great stuff. Now, Bob, are you going to stick around with my brothers on today?
I am looking forward to chatting with your brother, an amazing individual.
He is an amazing individual. He is an amazing individual.
Next Vegas trip, he's going with me. He's uncanny in his ability to predict.
Yeah, great. That's fabulous, Bob. glad you feel that way. Tremendous.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay,
great. Last half hour, you talked to him. No. I saw him last weekend, which was great. I had a nice long talk with him last weekend.
Yeah, so. you were shuffling between New Jersey and Connecticut with some incredible frequency, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Turns out that my 40th high school reunion is tonight, believe it or not, and needless to say, I'm busy. But I actually was in the town last Friday, so I actually was in the town a week ago, but that's the best I could do. Get this now. I want a couple things. One is more than 300 lettermen have now committed to coming back for this game. More than 300 lettermen. Recruiting-wise, the number of recruits they have in this weekend rivals the number of recruits they had in for the Ohio State and Iowa games. How about that?
And, Steve, I know we can't talk about the individual recruits,
No.
It appears that there are some rather some individual with a lot of stars after their names coming in to State College tomorrow for the game.
Right. Well, as I said, okay, nobody knew how many would show up for this thing. Now it turns out the recruiting weekend has turned into the same number or right in the same neighborhood as the Ohio State weekend and the Iowa weekend. And that speaks volumes. More than 300 lettermen have committed to the game. I mean, even Jack Ham's going to go.
Yeah. Is there a guy named LeVar Arrington going to show up?
He will be there. He will be there, and I will leave it at that. There'll be a little extra with him tomorrow.
Well, so, we'll, you know, okay. He got called out by a certain coach to be there, and he.
You know what, LeVar's though has been great through this whole thing. I mean, when they did the first recruiting weekend, but after the signing day, they had a signing day event at the Jordan Center, and LeVar was the host of that night. They had a job fair in, I want to say, late July, early August for the players. And it turned out, and LeVar came from Los Angeles because LeVar and I were stationed side by side. So, I mean, he and I talked for about 2 hours. LeVar loves this place. He loves this place. And I'll tell you, he loved Joe. I mean, he really did. And he has a great affinity for James Franklin. Every time James Franklin has asked him to do something, he's done it. So he knew that he could tweet or text him and, quote, challenge him. And he knew it was going to be much of a challenger. So, hey, you know, come to the game and rally the Letterman, because he knew LeVar would, A, go to the game, and, B, would rally the Letterman. I mean, LeVar Arrington has been a great alumnus of the football program in any way you can think of. He's been a great, the only thing, and I talked to LeVar about this in late March when they had the combine, because he came in for that, you know, and we were talking about the years he was here, and, you know, because, you know, I mean, well, we've known each other now for, what, 20 years in one way or another. And I said, I know the one thing. I said, I'm sure your parents would tell you this. He's not that far away from his degree. Because remember, he left after 3 years.
Yeah.
He's just short of it. I said, look, through World Campus, you can get the darn thing. All right? And I'm hoping he does. And I think there's a part of him that really wants that. And I think it would be great for him. It would also be great for the university if he did it, too. But he will be here tomorrow. He will play a prominent role tomorrow. There'll be more than 300 lettermen here tomorrow. There'll be a near record number of recruits here tomorrow. It's big. I mean, it's big. Now, are tickets available? Yes. Tickets are available. All right? So if you want to go to the game, and the weather looks like it's going to be pretty good tomorrow for the game, right? If you want to go and be a part of it, there are tickets available for the game. Do not think it is sold out. Okay? It is not sold out. All right? So, you know, now you'd like to see it sold out. The game, I think, it has enough stakes in it where you think it deserves to be sold out. But if you want a ticket to the game, you can get a ticket to the game by getting a hold of the ticket center. You can get a ticket. So get a ticket, get in there, and be part of it. Hopefully there's a huge walk-up crowd for this tomorrow, because obviously these are the kind of stakes that 2 months ago, people did not even fathom could happen to Penn State. And now here they are in this spot.
The big question I have, has a decision been made, Steve, about what to display on the big scoreboards starting at, say, when the stadium gates open around 2 or 1:30?
I think people are saying, are you going to be able to see the Ohio State
That's
game?
That's exactly right.
I believe the answer is no. And the reason is this. Players have to warm up. Okay, I don't think that you want to have the game on the boards because they need to focus in on what they're doing. You don't need them like glancing up every 2 seconds to see if JT Barrett made a play. I mean, my feeling is, I haven't heard one way or the other, but my feeling is no, they shouldn't put it up there. You know, update the scores, things like that. And my reason is this. I want the players coming out to warm up like they do all the time under all the same circumstances without having that darn thing playing up there. Okay, it's not, say Michigan wins. Penn State still has plenty to play for. They can get to a New Year's Six game.
That's right. But I think that was an intriguing question that, you know, not a lot of athletic directors and coaches have to confront during the course of a season.
Right. No, I agree with you. And my answer would be no, I would not. Because, for example, the game may not be over when the blue band comes out to play. What do you want to do, take it off? I mean, the game may not be over. I mean,
and you're starting senior day festivities, too, and the game will still be going on. Yeah, you can't take away from that either.
You have senior day going on. You have the blue band and making its performance going on. What do you do? Keep playing the game, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, you guys sounded great, fabulous. Hey, good for the seniors. Love you.
Yeah.
At that point, it becomes there. So putting the game up on the screen, to me, while it would be interesting, there are too many other things going on that I think are more important, such as players need to warm up under normal circumstances so they're locked in on what's going on. The blue band needs to have its moment out there because it's also the last day for those blue band seniors playing in Beaver Stadium. It's their last game, so they should have the focus on them. And the seniors, when they get introduced, should have the focus on them. So, I mean, at that point, you've got to take the game off the board. So that's why I don't think they ought to play the game on the board anyway. Just my opinion.
Well, I think at some point in the next 24 hours, we're going to find out whether they agree with you or not.
It would be a pretty simple decision. The answer is no. We can update the game for you on the ribbon boards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my opinion of it.
And you and Jack could even talk about it when you come on the air around 2:00.
Well, I mean, we can, but you know what? Here's the interesting thing, though, Bob. Remember, between 2 and 3, Jack and I can't see the game. So we'll be out there. So whatever updates we get are actually going to be through Roger or Jeff from the network.
Right.
Because we won't be able to see the game. Now, once we get back into the booth, obviously that game, we'll have the game on because there's usually a lag of about 10 to 15 minutes between the time we get back in the booth and the time we go back in the air because that's when the James Franklin pregame show plays. And, you know, and we use that time to walk back, get in there and settle in. Then we'll watch the end of the game, whatever that result may be. And obviously when we come on, we'll let everybody know what we saw. But I would think frequent updates on the ribbon board's the right thing to do. It's just because, again, at some point you have to cut it off and say, okay, you're done. I mean, what if, for example, Ohio State's driving to win the game and, like, the blue band comes out? Hey, I think we're going to stick with the game here. Yeah. No, I don't think so. No, you can't do that.
No.
So that's just my opinion.
Yep.
But we'll take a break, as it's my opinion we need one here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Take a moment to breathe deeply. Clear your mind and consider your surroundings. Notice the sights and sounds, the scents and textures, every sensation. Are you where you want to be? You can redirect your path at any time. After all, life isn't scripted. It's not about winning the race. It's a journey towards your personal best. And that is the ultimate destination. And the all-new 2017 Lincoln Continental is the vehicle to take you there. You deserve this. Nestle into the serene cabin and surround yourself with the reassuring strength of its forms. From its intuitive ease of the 30-way front seat controls to the exceptional collection of amenities. Continental invites everyone to experience the journey in an elegant new way. Sunbury Motors Lincoln will be there for you and your Lincoln whenever, wherever you need it. Stop in today and experience this impressive vehicle for yourself at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Purchase any new Lincoln in the month of November and receive one complete detail each year for the next 4 years. Sunbury Motors Lincoln, making American luxury affordable. Check out our inventory at sunburylincoln.com.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
All right, scheduled for today will be Audrey Snyder from DK Sports and Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. And then my brother stops in. Arkansas leads Missouri 14-7 at the end of the first quarter. Houston has just taken the lead on Memphis 36-34. I believe the extra point's pending to try and make it a three-point game. There's still 7 minutes left in that game, and Memphis is giving Houston all it can handle. Houston being led by their in-house genius, Tom Herman, whom everybody wants, evidently. LSU wants him. Texas wants him. There's now a report out there that if LSU gets Tom Herman, Texas may not fire Charlie Strong. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And let's see. Washington State, bottom of the hour. Nebraska, Iowa, bottom of the hour. Boise and Air Force coming up, bottom of the hour. Houston did tack on the extra point. Now leads Memphis 37-34. And NC State leads North Carolina 28-14 in the fourth quarter of that game in Chapel Hill. And to the credit of NC State and North Carolina, after an incomplete pass, they brawled. Yeah.
Oh, nothing like an in-state rivalry.
Shoving match followed a bizarre play that was initially a fumble, but then later ruled incomplete. So there you go.
And when we're watching all these games, we can just sit and think, what's the implication for Penn State on the Iowa-Nebraska game, the Washington-Washington State game?
The Iowa-Nebraska game, the implication of this, Nebraska still has a shot at winning the West. So that's the implication there. The Washington-Washington State game is simple. Washington's fifth and Penn State seventh. Enough said.
Yeah.
So those are the stakes you're talking about at this point. You know, things you could talk about today. Then tomorrow we'll see how it all plays out. It's an exciting day here at Beaver Stadium. The game again. You want tickets? Get tickets. Okay, there are tickets available for this game tomorrow, and you know, just go to gopsusports.com and that's it. You can go and you can get your tickets there. But if you want tickets, the chance to potentially see something really special, you can get tickets and you can go online now and get them. And I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
And, you know, Steve, senior day tomorrow, I remember senior day in 2012 was a really emotional day for a lot of good reasons. Some incredible athletes being honored, but very similar for tomorrow.
There are, I think, four players on the team where their initial recruitment was started by Joe Paterno, then finished by Bill O'Brien, then all the others were recruited by Bill O'Brien. They stuck in there and they stayed. They stayed. And they've seen the highs and they've seen the lows. They stayed. And now they're a big reason for one of the great highs in recent Penn State football history. Chance to cap it off big time tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Frank Bodani on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the holidays now. Remember, it's only Friday. Stock up for the weekend. There's a lot of football on this weekend. You want to make sure you have plenty for your tailgate. And they will be a tailgating tomorrow.
Steve, I can bring you some of the pickles from the pickle bar for tomorrow if you'd like.
Barrels and dills, my man. Those are my favorites.
Okay, I'll make note.
Okay, and also they have snacks, water, soda, wine coolers. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. We mentioned the pickle bar is second to none. There's specials between now and Tuesday. Genesee regular light and cream ale, 30-pack cans, $11.95. Seagram's 12-pack bottles, $10.99. Labatt 16-ounce, 24-pack can, $17.97. Heineken 12-ounce, 24-pack bottles, $25.95. And Reds 12-ounce, 24-pack bottles, $16.95 after a $10 rebate, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history, 1921. The first play-by-play broadcast of a football game was wired in College Station, Texas, on amateur radio. The game was between Texas and Texas A&M in Austin. 1961, Bob Cousy of the Celtics scored his 15,000th career NBA point. 1965, the first color broadcast of an NFL game aired on CBS. The Detroit Lions beat the Baltimore Colts. They played the Baltimore Colts, and the game ended in a 24-24 tie. 1980, Larry Holmes knocked out Marvis Frazier in the opening round, in the first round to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. That was in 1980. And in 2002, Pete Rose and baseball commissioner Bud Selig met secretly to discuss Rose's lifetime ban from baseball. And obviously the meeting was not a huge Pete Rose success. He's still banned. All right. Time to bring in Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Next half hour, Audrey Snyder. Final half hour, the seer of all seers, the sage of all sages, my brother. Frank, welcome. Great to have you with us. Happy Thanksgiving to Shelley and the family. When you looked at Penn State, what are some of the common threads during this winning streak that you have noticed?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I think you see the commonality, I guess, in some of the games is their ability to adjust halfway through and then really to put games away and actually pour it on in the second half a lot of times against teams. So that's something that we've seen kind of time and again. Even when they start out a little shaky, they have seemed to really figure it out and make great adjustments. I guess you got to give a lot of credit to the coaches for that. But then again, you know, each win is a little different too, because they're playing different opponents. At Indiana, with the big, strong-arm quarterback that caused some difficulties for them. You know, JT Barrett's a whole different type of quarterback and offense, and they've done a nice job, I guess, especially defensively, adjusting to all those different opponents each week. A little different challenge, and really sticking together. I mean, you got to be impressed with the teamwork.
All right, when you look at, we're talking about Kabinda and Bell, of course, getting back, and we've talked about that before, but I think a lot of people forget that Schwann had been out early, too. Sickles have been really bumped up. In conjunction, four veterans on that side of the ball, what have they done to stabilize the defense?
Well, I think those guys have been through everything the past few years. I think absolutely rocks of the team. Dedication, you know, every day at practice. I think so. Great role model. I think younger kids watching them get the sense of, here's how we're supposed to do this every day. Here's how we're supposed to play through injuries, not get too high, not get too low. So just their perseverance, I think, is kind of, you mentioned it, is what rubs off on everybody else. And without Jason and Brandon and those guys in there early in the season, who do the young guys look to when the time gets tough? And who do they look to when they might not be in the right position on the field? Those guys, yeah, definitely made all the difference in the world.
The seniors on this team, you've been there every step of the way chronicling this. What have they meant? I mean, you always want to have a senior class that leaves the program in better shape than when they entered. Can these guys make that claim?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I mean, think about it. When the sanctions hit, none of these so-called experts thought that Penn State would have a winning record for 10 years. You know, a lot of people were saying, or how long is it going to take them to recover? One, these seniors are a small part of the original recruiting classes at those times. So, you know, they stuck with it. They didn't give up. They wouldn't let others, younger kids around them, give up. So one, just keeping the team together, but then the ability to fight through obstacles that other teams don't have to deal with. You saw that clearly in that they've never had a losing record. I mean, with all the things they've gone through, they've always had a winning record each year. They've always found a way to overcome their own obstacles. You know, the offense and the offensive line isn't where it should be. They still found a way to win more times than they lost. Injuries, they still figured out a way to succeed more than they failed. And I think, gosh, you know, you can't diminish the senior classes, the last couple that came before them, but these guys are just, I mean, every bit as important.
The offensive line, obviously it's been hit hard by injuries, as the linebacking core had been hit earlier in the year. The linebacking core, for the most part, is now recovered. Offensive line, a couple guys aren't going to recover from this thing. What kind of job have they done up front, considering they've had to have some moving parts there?
Yeah, maybe some of the really tough times that they experienced the last 2 years kind of maybe starting to pay off a little bit. Guys like Derek Dowry, Brian Gaea, who, hey, the whole line was criticized. Those two guys were criticized. But, you know, they stuck with it, and maybe some of that is paying off now because, hey, neither of those two guys are superstars that will probably be playing in the NFL, but you can't. Their effort is so important, and they've really become really good college players. And I think it affects everyone around them. I think that the younger linemen have learned from these guys. I mean, listen to Saquon Barkley yesterday. He made it sound like there's no guy in the team he respects more than Brian Gaea. And Coach Limegrover probably has had a big impact on that too. Maybe his personality and his style and his X's and O's with the linemen, his techniques. Maybe they also fit a little better for what Penn State has to work with.
How do you look at Michigan State at this stage, Frank?
I'm not sure. I mean, they have so much. They're so different than any other 3-8 team you probably have ever encountered.
Right.
I'm sure they're the best 3-8 team in America. and because they have this talent that obviously we know about because of the previous few years, a lot of that's still there, but they've been hit just as hard with injuries as Penn State. So they've lost some of their big time players to that. They lost some to graduation. They're playing a lot of young kids.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to Penn State, but I think almost more urgent. At least Penn State has had a year or so to kind of work in some of the young guys. I mean, Michigan State's been hit with this all at once. I think it's a combination of things that snowballed. The one thing, though, that makes you wonder is I'm not sure they played a good game away from home yet.
Right.
And with giving everything they had last week against Ohio State, it makes you wonder how early in the third quarter, when Penn State figures out probably more how to stop their run game, how are they going to adjust in Beaver Stadium? And I just see Penn State pulling away in the second half.
All right. Obviously, you're looking intently at this college football playoff situation. You're looking at a Penn State team at the moment that is ranked 7th in the weekly snapshot. What do you think of all of this? I mean, the fact that we're even talking about it right now, what do you think of all this?
Well, that's crazy because there hasn't been many seasons, if any, that I've covered at Penn State where the expectations, understandably, were lower, and they've exceeded them by so much. I've never been a part of that. So that's new. Then you have this whole discussion of all these, you know, you never had the college football playoffs until just a few years ago. So that's new, and they're suddenly involved in it. And it's all debatable because, you know, the Big Ten is all a mix. I mean, having four teams in the top seven, do they all four deserve to be there? That's a whole debate people are having.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know what all Penn State can do is what they've done the last, you know, seven games, and that's win, take care of their business. So far, that's helped them unbelievably so. People can say they're not as good as they are, but you know what? If you go out and you take care of business every week, in the end, you're going to get your reward. And I guess that's really all you can hope for. If they get a little help, they get a chance for one more week to prove who they are.
Right. What has your approach been in trying to cover this? Has it been matter of fact? Have you speculated? What's been your approach? We all take our different approaches.
You mean with just how the team's done, or with
the playoff possibility? Have you really delved much into it, or have you just taken a wait and see?
I think about it. I think it's neat to debate and to think about. As far as how I've actually gone out and written about it and gone on social media, kind of backed off because I kind of think that let's let things kind of play out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really what it is. I mean, people are arguing and upset about why one team's ranked third or 13th, but I think some of that, you still have two more weeks to go. Maybe some of that debate for me, if I write about it, it's going to be more when it's done. Okay, let's see how it worked. Let's give it two more weeks, you know.
Yeah, see,
I think that's fair.
Right, to me, these are weekly snapshots and no more than that. It's a weekly snapshot that if the playoff were today, which it isn't, this is how we'd put it. Well, the body of work changes every week for everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's why I've really taken a wait-and-see attitude about it.
You have to, and I think, you know, all the radio shows and the weekly college football playoff ranking shows, hey, they're great because they get people talking about the sport.
No doubt.
But they don't, I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter until you finish the games, you know?
Right.
And I do have to admit, though, I love the people who talk about how, you know, you can't put Penn State above Ohio State if it ends up that way because they're just not as good of a team, you know. I mean, that's the debate you hear on the radio, and it's really intriguing because I kind of get what they're coming from, you know, because I think Ohio State, for example, is deeper and has more talent, and you know, who knows about the coaching? But aren't we supposed to? Isn't when you judge how good a team is, isn't that judged on the field? I mean,
well, in the last 23 minutes of that game, when the money was on the table, Who was better?
Well, you know what it is, though, Steve, is that a lot of people, and this is understandable because I don't get to, too, they don't get a chance to really watch how a game unfolds.
Right. For example, I can't sit there and do a big in-depth thing myself on Washington because I've seen Washington play once the entire season. So I know what Browning's done, but the only game I watched was USC. I can't tell you how good they are.
So people see highlights and they see scores and they see Penn State's two block kicks and they don't understand that they really did dominate Ohio State's offense in the second half. And if they really saw it, they probably would have a different opinion.
Frank, to you, your family, your wife, everybody, happy Thanksgiving. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Thanks a lot for carving out a couple of minutes for us today.
Always the best. Enjoy the day tomorrow, especially, Steve. Thanks.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. All right, let's update Washington, Washington State for you. Miles Gaskin has scored on a 2-yard run. Washington leads 7-0, and Washington State has just fumbled, and Washington gets its second possession in Washington State territory. Nebraska and Iowa are scoreless in the first quarter. Back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, let's update everybody on what's going on. Washington is driving, leading 7-0 in the first quarter in the Apple Cup game against Washington State. That game's in Pullman at Martin Stadium today. Meanwhile, Houston is trying to hang on here. In fact, Memphis has just taken the lead on Houston in the waning seconds. They took the lead with 39 seconds to go. They lead it 47-44. And I believe the extra point's pending there, so Houston's going to need a touchdown to somehow pull the game out. And Iowa and Nebraska are scoreless at Kinnick, just underway in the first quarter of that game. Boise State Air Force 7-7 first quarter. TCU leads Texas 7-0, 7:45 to go in the opening quarter there. And Washington has just scored again. Extra point pending as Coleman scores. It's 13-0 Huskies. So there you go. You're up to date.
Not bad. Not bad at all. That Iowa-Nebraska game, I think, is going to be a real knuckle duster.
It should be a really good game. I mean, between the two, this has turned out to be a really good Friday game.
Mm-hmm.
It's become the traditional Friday game in the Big Ten. Nebraska and Iowa played on Friday ever since Nebraska entered the conference. It's turned into a really good season-ending game. I think this is where the Big Ten, I think, is making potentially a mistake with its scheduling, and that's taking Penn State and Michigan State off the final weekend of the season. The Washington touchdown called back because of a penalty did not score. It's still 7-0. So a penalty wipes out the Washington touchdown. And so Browning's going to try it again. They still got it. He threw a touchdown pass. So it's now 13-0. Just took one extra play. Pettis is really good. Pettis has already completed a 50-yard pass play and a trick play, and he's now caught a touchdown. But I think they're making a mistake, Bob, by taking Penn State, Michigan State off the final weekend. I think you start messing around with the last weekend of the season. They'll play Maryland the next 2 years as the final game, a home and away, and then I think it's away and home, and then they'll be away and a home with Rutgers the last game of the season. And I just don't think that's the way to go. Make Rutgers and Maryland play the last game against one another, and then have Penn State play its game against Michigan State. I just think they're making a mistake here.
Well, they set this game up years ago to kind of create a rivalry between Penn State and Michigan State. It was the Land-Grant Trophy was to be the...
Yes, it still is.
It still is. Everyone's lost sight of that, and it's really not been the rivalry I think people hoped it would be, except for this year when... all on the line.
You know what's interesting? The last 5 or 6 years that the game was played before this recent, it was actually becoming that way. And it finally had taken some time to get there, but then it started getting to the point where it wasn't like it's not in the same realm as Michigan, Ohio State. No. But it actually started to develop its own personality as a game. Then they put Penn State and Michigan State in different divisions. Well, when they did that, that stopped them from playing for 3 years. Then they got back to finally playing 2 years ago, then last year, and now they're going to play this year. But then they're taking it off the final weekend next year for the next 4 years. I just don't think it was the right thing to do. Make Rutgers and Maryland play the last game against each other. Make Penn State and Michigan State play them. Ohio State already is playing against Michigan, and you already have Indiana playing Purdue. I think it's set up nice and easy for the conference. I think they're making it too difficult for themselves.
Well, that Penn State-Maryland matchup can really turn into a rivalry because a lot of recruiting back and forth in Maryland for Penn State, and Maryland comes here to the Pennsylvania. And, the Big 33 game for many years was Maryland and Pennsylvania.
So while I agree with all that, Bob, hey, guess what? Everyone knows who the top four teams in the division are.
No, that's also true.
Okay, so from a competitive mega weekend deal, I mean, the Big Ten ends up with a mega weekend this weekend. Huh. They have all the focus. Well, you don't have all the focus if Penn State's playing Maryland. All right? Just don't. I mean, I know Maryland has a better record than Michigan State, but they don't have Michigan State's rep. And Michigan State, while I don't think Michigan State's going to get back to being a consistent 10-11 win team, I think they're going to be an 8 or 9 win team, and a 7 to 9 win team on a consistent basis. And I've said this for years now. This is not something new I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. From the travel for Penn State fans to go to Michigan State versus Maryland.
Oh, no doubt.
Factors into it.
Oh, I agree. I agree with all that, Bob. You have a chance to have Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, Michigan State play the last weekend. I think that sets you up as a conference really well to draw attention.
Oh, no question about it this year for certain.
Well, it's happened in other years. When Penn State won the Big Ten Championship in 2008, Michigan, Ohio State, that game had a stake in it. Michigan State and Penn State. Penn State had a stake in it, and Penn State won. So this last weekend has developed into something when the two of them have played. Just my opinion. I just think they're thinking too much.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.